Hello, everybody. It is Thursday, November 30th, 2017. And this is Elaine with a Thursday afternoon PSS group for the 3 p.m. group Eastern Time. And we're going to be talking about shifting expectations today. And I just have to say, I cannot believe it's like the end of November 2017. just a moment of wow, how quickly things are flying. So welcome, everybody. Let's start with check-ins. How are things going for you? What do you want to celebrate?
This is Julie, and I want to celebrate that Jeremy asked me how confident I was that what I committed to would actually happen. I think I said 70% or something like that, but I did it. I sat down with the kids and talked about, you know, sort of the chore load around the house and that we all need to pitch in a little more and where could they help. And so we had that conversation, and then there has been some changes, not drastic yet, but sort of a plan of things that they should be doing every day and a way for me to check with them. And so a little progress. It's good.
So your progress in process.
Yes.
Right? That's awesome, because you wouldn't expect huge changes by now, but if you're seeing incremental change, that's the lasting stuff.
Yes. That's good.
Beautiful. Well done. Devonna, what about you? What do you want to celebrate?
Well, I guess that we're sort of continuing to have good tone in the home.
Uh-huh. What does good tone in the home look like these days? Or sound like?
You know, like, mostly positive, mostly much more pleasant interaction, you know? So certainly not an absence of conflict, you know, but,
right.
but you know, regular expressions of love on everybody's part.
Awesome. I have to say that I was listening. I was having some conversations post-Thanksgiving, and I've had a lot of conversations with people talking about how tolerable Thanksgiving was. Like, the success was that it was good enough. It was okay. And I was just finding myself really grateful that we've gotten to a point where my kids seek each other out, and they can't wait to see each other. You know. And that's what I wish for all of you, and hope this is moving you all in that direction of just this sense of, you know, that home becomes a haven and a connection place and not a stressor place. Mark, is that you that's joined us?
That's me.
Welcome. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Julie was just celebrating, and Devonna, do you have a celebration to bring to the table?
Are you talking to me?
Talking to you.
Let's ask the question one more time. I didn't hear it.
What do you want to celebrate before we move into taking aim?
Christmas.
Christmas is coming.
Christmas. Winter is coming. Christmas is coming. Yeah,
awesome.
I just want to have a good Christmas. Celebrate good Christmas. Family.
Okay.
All that stuff.
Awesome. Great. So let's shift to taking aim. What do you want to focus on this week? Julie or Devonna, y'all want to start? Anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Julie. Okay. I think I'd like to tackle the tone of the home, which is huge, obviously, but... my son gets grouchy, and a lot of it has to do with when he's being asked to stop playing on his video games. But I'd like to kind of focus in on that and how I think if we were better at working on those transitions for or with him, that it would go smoother and the whole household would be a little bit more relaxed.
So... So if I can narrow the, help you know, because you start with tone of the home and then I hear getting off computers and transitions.
Yes.
So I think what I'm hearing you saying is helping him get off the computer respectfully.
Yes.
Is that it?
Sounds correct.
It's becoming a more and more common place for people to take aim. So,
yeah.
Just say, you know, not a great surprise to anybody.
No.
But I am, it's like, it's coming up a lot. It's not just the transition or the tone, but it's really helping him learn how to get off the machine, to walk away without becoming irritable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Devana, what about you?
You know, I don't know. I have to think about it some more still. But I'm thinking, on first blush, maybe while not dropping things with the kids and what they need, kind of recircling back and into the self-care. I just started going back to the gym last week, and the supporting my husband with kind of getting what he needs in terms of the house not being a mess and having food in the fridge and, you know, sort of those things, and making sure that, because I haven't had my focus on that. And so, yeah.
So that's a lot of things. Food in the fridge, supporting the husband, self-care, gym. Like, is there a particular change? It sounds like you sort of want to step back into your role of sort of house manager.
I've never taken that role, fortunately. I wouldn't be very good at it. Doing a little bit more to support my husband in his role of house manager.
Okay.
Which really means sort of taking care of both of us. I mean, he's not expressing that need right now, but he's had more work hours lately. And, you know, it's obviously stressful and draining having kids who need a lot of support and always trying to find that balance of, you know, giving them the support that they're willing to take, convincing them that they want the support that you're willing to give, you know, the whole balancing act.
Yeah, right. So so shifting your focus on sort of team, partnering with your husband a little bit.
Well, or shifting the focus of that partnership, which is really, which is both of our
kids,
but a little bit of, but to back off from the kids.
Got it.
To make sure that he's getting what he needs too, and it's not just their needs.
Got it. Okay, got it. And I just want to say I've never been a really good house manager either. I think that's why I finally went back to work, because I like to go where I do something well. Mark, what about you? What do you want to focus on?
Well, talking about when she mentioned, I think, going to the gym and all that. I have a friend that every year we talk about our New Year's resolutions, but we call them intentions, our New Year's intentions. And she was telling me that this year she wants to get back to basics. And basically it came out to mind, body, and soul, you know, the foundations, take care of that stuff, and then everything else will sit where it needs to sit. So
you want to take aim on getting back to basics.
Back to basics, family, more family time, you know, American dream, that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, that's, you know, it's just everything. So is there anything specific in there that you want to target in on?
You mean personally or for the household?
It's up to you, whatever you want to take aim on this week.
Just more family time. You know, we had a deal the other day where I shut off everything and said we're going to play board games and card games, and Logan put up a big fight about it. But it was funny how Julie and Parker and I started playing without him, and then he, you know, came over and started playing. And,
great.
You know, it turned out to be a pretty good evening, but that's what I want to do, is more family time.
Okay, great. Cool. So topic this week is shifting expectations. And, you know, what's really essential about shifting expectations, there are a lot of subsets of shifting expectations, right? But what's the most essential point, I think, is that it's not about lowering expectations. It's that quintessential way that we meet kids where they are. We're not lowering the bar. We're moving the bar to where they are so that we can begin to raise it again from there and help set them up for success in the process. And it's the way that we take the disability perspective for our kids. We recognize that they are developmentally delayed in some aspects of their learning, and that to really help them grow effectively and continue forward, we have to meet them where they're starting, not where they wish they were, or not where they, quote, should be, or their peers should be. And there are a lot of things that come under this heading of shifting expectations. A lot of the topics we're going to talk about throughout the year come under this tone of the home. You guys have all mentioned in one way or the other, curiosity, buy-in, failing forward, motivation. All of these things are aspects or different ways that we tackle this bigger picture issue of shifting expectations. But shifting expectations is really essential for, it's that mindset, the context of all of these strategies is to really let go of the shoulds. I often call it shed the shoulds, right? Other people's shoulds, the shoulds that we create that are based on what we think we should be shoulding or wanting. And this is not just for our kids, but also for ourselves, right? So we have a lot of expectations on what we should be doing or they should be doing. And then we have a whole bunch of expectations on what we feel like we should be doing. Or what did it look like to be a good mom or dad? Or, that's what Devana, when you started saying that things are, you're continuing to have a good tone of the home, it's like, really taking a minute to say, well, what does that look like? What is that you're wanting? Because when you get clear about our expectations, it's a lot easier to achieve them or to move in the positive direction that you want. So shifting expectations is sort of a big concept. It's one of those larger categories, one of the four critical response areas that we see in the model. Under the planning section. I think it's a big differentiator. It's what differentiates this work in the coach approach with complex kids from most of the other parenting programs out there. Because it's about building on positivity, but it's not dwelling. It's not just positivity. It's adding this other understanding about what's going on with our kids and meeting them there and understanding what's happening and beginning to plan and coordinate and move forward from that place and not from some arbitrary notion of what it could or should be. So I'm going to stop there and sort of open it up to anything that comes up for any of you around shifting expectations, thoughts about it. It's not a new concept for anybody on the call, right? But it's a new moment of interacting with it. So what do you notice? Thinking about.
Give some examples of shifting expectations.
Give some examples. So, you know, it's often for a lot of parents who go through these programs, one of the first things that they realize is that they've been holding the bar too high. The notion that my 10-year-old should be able to go upstairs, get in a shower by himself, shower in a reasonable time frame, come downstairs by himself without being reminded. Or my 12-year-old might be able to do that. And, you know, developmentally, if your child is, you know, 10 going on 7 instead of 10 going on 11, that may not be a realistic expectation at that point developmentally. That doesn't mean he'll never get to that point. It means it may not be the time now. I got an email from a mom this morning who wants her 9-year-old to get up in the morning because he gets up fine, go downstairs, have breakfast, take his meds, and get started on something all by 8 o'clock by himself without any remind, without any external input. And, you know, that may or may not be realistic for a 9-year-old typically. It's certainly probably not realistic for a 9-year-old with ADHD, which this child has. And so shifting expectations is about saying, okay, if we want him to be able to do all these things, how do we help him be successful with it? Is it really about him doing it, or is it about doing it independently? Does he need reminders? Does there need to be an external piece in there somewhere to help him be successful? But just because he is a certain age doesn't mean he is ready to take on a certain responsibility. And that's, I think, those are some examples. Anybody else have examples that come up for you that have made a difference?
I think in our own house, Mark, the kids, talking about doing the chores and reminding them that, okay, you're supposed to do this, this, and this when you get home from school, that's great, but they don't remember. And so until it's sort of maybe a habit or something, they need a text message reminder. They need a note on the door to remind them of those things. And it, you know, they'll get there, but they're not there yet. And so I think that's part of let's back up to where they need a little more support and then move from there.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where taking aim comes in really helpfully, because when you know you're only focusing on one thing, then you can sort of move the needle with them. You can help them move forward on it because you're not relying on them to remember everything. You got a clear area of focus. But Mark, what comes up for you as Julie shares that?
I don't know. I think everything you're saying makes complete sense. It's just implementing it.
Mm-hmm.
We get caught up in our own habits and trying to implement something that's not a habit for us. It doesn't always happen. So I can totally see it, the need for it.
Yeah.
But it's just difficult, you know, at the end of a long day or a hard day or whatever, and somebody's acting up.
So the difficulty is remembering to shift the expectation or communicating it. And there are a lot of pieces
to it, right? Sometimes it's not even being able to get started shifting it, because you walk in the house and it's like the buttons are already pushed because of something. This is, not all the time, but something happens at school, and so the disappointment and the anger is already there walking into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult sometimes to step back and look at the whole picture and, is that making sense at all?
Yeah, I'm curious. What's coming up for me is, what's the expectation that you have when you walk into the house?
Well, I expect the chores to be done, and both kids and both dogs come running to the door to greet me with smiles.
Right.
and your kids just, from your wife.
And your best father's nose dust. Yeah.
Yeah, and my wife's standing there with a rum and Diet Coke, Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and my smoking jacket and my pipe.
We laugh, but on some level, we have sort of been conditioned. You want to open the door and you sort of hope that, like you started off this call saying Christmas is coming, and sort of like you open the door and you sort of want to hope that Christmas joy is there every day when you walk in the door, right? Daddy's home.
Yeah. Yep, that would be nice.
And you do live in the world.
Yeah, live in the world. So, but knowing that that's not going to be every day, yeah, there are the days when it happens, but sometimes, like I said, just it's been a long day. I didn't get lunch, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I still expect that at least the chores are done and that the kids are not fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And they're not hard chores. So, like empty the dishwasher and sweep the floor.
Yeah. And so this is, and that is exactly what we're talking about, I think, is to begin to shift the expectations so that, you know, is it reasonable that that's going to happen 5 days out of the week, or is it more realistic that that might happen 1 or 2 days out of the week at this stage? And, you know, are you setting yourself up for frustration by, you know, keeping your father's nose best fantasy in your head, or, you know, do you want to set the expectation that you're walking into a Roseanne home so that you'll be, you know, pleasantly surprised?
Well, it's the problem with expecting the Roseanne home is that that is what you're going to get. It'll never get better than that.
Mm.
You know, it's like, well, this is the expectation. Okay, all right, that's what I expected. That's what it's going to be. And then you don't move the bar. You just leave it where it is, and that's where it is. This is our life. It's like, no.
So you're raising a really interesting distinction between creating a vision and shifting expectations. And
okay.
And Diane and I were very intentional when we talked about shifting expectations, not lowering them. Because there is this dance here, particularly in the realm of coaching, where we want to hold the vision of what we want it to be. And so I'm with you 1,000% that you don't want, you know, if because whatever you vision, whatever you, when you paint the picture of how you want it to be and set that intention, there is a certain amount of fulfilling prophecy that happens, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So yes, it's a really interesting piece. How do you shift your expectations without pulling back from setting and holding a vision or an intention of a more harmonious?
You just got to have patience.
Yeah?
Understand what's going on and just have the patience to know that it'll get there as long as you're, you know, don't lose the vision.
Right, the vision is still back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't give.
And yet, there's something about not surrendering to when you get there and the vision isn't fulfilled. Not to sort of let that become
right.
You know, a negative thing, but to say, okay, well, this is what it is today. You know.
Yeah. Do better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, Devana. What's coming up for you?
In terms of patience. I agree that it's really such a tricky thing of how do you, I mean, I have probably unrealistically high expectations of myself and my family. My mom says I'm a perfectionist, and I'm like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? Of course I'm not a perfectionist. That would be imperfect. I didn't say that, but you know, I think there is a little bit of like, wait a minute, I couldn't be a perfectionist. That's bad. Like, oh my God. So, and I recognize the trouble that gets me into, you know, the perfect being the enemy of good, you know, that can definitely get in my way in a lot of places in my life, being with my kids for sure. But yet you don't want to say, oh, I have no expectation. Oh, the D in AP World History is okay.
If the B in AP World History is success?
D. D as in dog.
Okay.
Well, B would
right,
be
success. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Even a C that you earned entirely by yourself. If you worked at that and that was your, that and you brought it up from a D and you know what I mean? Like, as long as you are working to improve from where you are, that is success. It doesn't, you know, so anyway. I guess I'm answering my own question. I think that's the balance. It's saying, hey, mistakes are good. We want to embrace them. The choosing to look away from your AP World History class for a couple of weeks or allowing that to happen was a mistake. And you recognize that that's not how you want to behave around that class if you want to get a better grade, which is important to you. So that's okay. It's a learning process. And okay, so now how are you going to move forward? Because because I keep seeing then the looking away continuing. And I'm like, okay, so I'm still seeing your behavior. So I think it needs to be me kind of asking some questions and in order to help encourage the meeting of really my kids' own expectations for themselves. That's what we need to focus on. What are their expectations? It's not really so much about mine.
Right. Well, and that's exactly what I was sort of hearing as you were saying it was, you know, your expectations around world history may not be the same, right? Or around what is a good grade or around how long you look away or any of that. And what you're looking for is his buy-in, is his engagement, is his ownership.
Yeah, I think the ownership is big because I think that, you know, the first answer is, oh, yeah, I need to do better. But then how do you actually actualize that? You know, what does that, you know,
what do you do when their expectations are so low of themselves that you just go, no, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. You know,
We had a whole negotiation around that actually that kind of unfolded. Well, D may be fine. No, it isn't. You know, and then kind of talking around to eventually over several weeks to, no, that's not what either of us really is aiming at.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I was thinking about. It's like, so as you said, ask questions. Like, is a D really okay with you? Do you really think you're a D student in world history, right? And it may take a little while for them to come back around and say, wait a minute, that's not who I want to be. But the challenge, part of shifting expectations, is to go from, okay, if you're not a D student, what does a C student look like? Instead of the presumption that, well, you know, really you should be an A. Right? So we create this distance from where we are to where that goal is. And so part of shifting expectations is bringing the goal back closer, more incremental changes. And so if we can go from a D to a C, that actually is progress. And that is success. And that is giving them something that they may want to then step up on. But if the expectation is D is bad, and so they presume that means, well, you should be getting an A or B, they don't get to begin to shift it for themselves. Does that resonate? I'm just sort of thinking out loud a little bit.
Yeah, the baby
steps. But there's an incremental shift here.
They don't need to jump. Yeah, they don't need to. Right. Gotcha.
Well, I was thinking about, so my youngest is 16 and is finally starting, I want to knock on wood or something, to do really much better in school, and it's his. But part of it was sort of pulling back and saying, okay, which classes do you think you should be an AB student in and which ones not? You know, and letting him set the expectations for what he thought he should be doing. Because I know he's smart enough to be an A student in every class if he were really to apply himself and yada, 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 right? And he sort of knows that too. But he's really not interested in math. He really couldn't care less. And I got to sort of understand that that's part of who he is. So if I'm willing to say, okay, he's going to set the expectation that he does enough work to be a solid B student in math, he tends to surprise himself and do better when he sets the expectations not quite as high as I might. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because now it's his.
Well, and maybe it's the stepping away from the perfectionism, too.
Say that again?
Maybe it's stepping away from the perfectionism, too, that's useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for
I think for
self,
a lot of
right.
our kids. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, we have these bright kids who have incredible capability, right? And so we see what they're capable of, and we want to hold them to that vision. And yet they've got to get there step by step. So part of shifting expectations is allowing them to just go from here to the next step and not always be focusing so much on five steps down the road that they don't know how to really focus on the first two steps. That's the process versus the outcome thing. So I was at a presentation the other day, and somebody was talking about, going back to the example you used, Mark, if dad came in the door and the house was a mess and dinner wasn't made and dogs weren't fed, but mom and the kids were having this crackerjack, amazing game, really fun, playful, competitive game of Monopoly, right? Is that success?
Yes. That is success for me.
Because?
Because they're happy. And I've told Julie this in the past, that it's a house, you know. It's not a museum. It's not, you know, we're not putting it up for sale, and it's got to be perfect. It's our house. This is where we live. And as long as it's not dirty, messy is okay. If everybody's happy and getting along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like the socks on the floor and that stuff, but you know, if the tension isn't there, then I'm not feeling that, and then that stuff doesn't bother me as much.
Mhm. And I'd say that's probably the same for the whole family.
Yeah.
Right. So it's funny because earlier you said, well, if I walk in, well, if at least the chores are done.
Well, that means it's about respect too. You know, this is what we're asking you to do. Just do what we're asking you to do. And I always say, I'm not asking you to dig a ditch. Just vacuum the carpet. It's not that hard. You need to learn how to do this stuff. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not, life is not all fun and games. You got to do a little bit of work. And it's not a lot of work. Just come home, do your work, and then, you know, be happy.
So what if that is a lot of work for some people? And for some of our kids, that is what you just described is a lot. Just the expectation of being happy is a lot.
Well, I don't expect them to be happy, but if... And I don't, when I say happy, I don't mean like, how do I explain this? Like, I don't know, in general,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we all got stuff that brings us down, but that's understandable. I mean, in the moment, it's like, you're not fighting. You're not arguing. You're not being mean. Everybody's
mm-hmm.
getting along. We're all happy. You know, that's
right.
That's what I mean. So, and it's possible to do because they have done it. And every time they do it, we say, God, I wish it could be like this forever. And
is that a realistic expectation?
Oh, no, not at all. We're only human.
Yeah.
Something would be wrong with us if we were happy all the time.
It's the Buddha realm.
What's that?
So I said the Buddha realm.
Yeah.
the Nirvana realm.
But, you know, if that little bit of work is too much for somebody, then, okay, do it anyways, because it's something you need to know how to do it, you know.
You need to know how to do it, but do you need to know how to do it all now?
Yeah, because sometimes you need to do it now.
Well,
when your boss tells
you
to do it now,
you need
do
to
it
do
now.
It, but sometimes you need to because you're an adult. You're fully developed. Your brain, your frontal lobe is fully developed. Is that really the same for complex kids?
Probably not, but depending on the circumstances,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's going on at the moment. You know, if you've been told to do it, you know, five times, and you're not stopping what you're doing to do it, even after been given, you know, you've been given time to finish up what you're doing, or, you know, like with Logan and his games, it's like, well, I can't pause the game, so I have to wait until I die. It's like, okay, well, when you die, don't start up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he dies and he starts up again, and then I go and shut the thing
right.
off, and it's like, sorry, you know, I want it done now.
Oh my mm-hmm. gosh, this is our house. Like, dying. I can't get away. I can't stop in the middle of the game because then I'm going to get blocked from the game for 2 days because if I just abandon, I'm like, well, that would be
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose everything
Logan,
I've
you know,
done.
I'm
going to lose all my
yeah.
progress. Right.
Well, I tell Logan, it's like, you know, if you're playing a game that you can't pause, then don't play that game or expect that game to expect to be stopped.
All right. So,
sorry.
Reasonable expectations. Okay. So when you tell him that, do you feel like, and that's, you're shifting an expectation with him to say, you know, some games you can finish and some games you can't. Right?
Right.
When you tell him that, are you getting the buy-in and the agreement, or are you setting a rule and don't really have Is he grabbing that baton or not? I guess is what I'm asking.
Well,
I think sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
I think it kind of depends on, you know, the meds being on board and stuff like that, and maybe just
uh-huh.
his general demeanor that day. But there are
yep.
times when he will get off the computer when we are PS4 or whatever when we ask him to, and then there are times it's World War
right.
IV, you
yep.
know, World War III, IV,
yep.
V.
Right. And so part of shifting expectations is understanding that exactly that some days are going to be, it's going to be an easy request and some days it's not. And to know, you know, how you're going to acknowledge him when he does and what the impact or consequences are going to be when he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, he knows what the consequences are.
Mm-hmm.
But even when they're, you know, the hand of justice comes around, you know, why are you taking my stuff? I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why'd you turn it off? I didn't do anything. He doesn't see it. He'll agree to it when he's got, you know, okay, you got 10 minutes left. All right, thanks. That's great. You know, and he's back in his game. And then, you know, okay, you got 1 minute left. Start winding down. And then, okay, time's up. You know, hold on, 10 minutes. 10 more minutes. Like, no. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had
so
your 10 minutes.
When
I'm
the hand
done.
Of justice comes down, right? I love that term. When the hand of
yeah.
justice comes down, you've given the warning. There's sort of two things that jump out in terms of shifting expectations effectively. One is it coming down with a tone of support and compassion, or is it coming down with a tone of the hand of judgment? Right. So that's one place to look because you can
right.
enforce it from a place of I often say, let the system be the bad guy. Right. Yep. I'm sorry, man. That's the deal. Or no, I told you now it's time to get off. You're going to get a different response depending on how that judgment or that justice is executed. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if we set the expectation that sometimes it's just going to be a hard day to get off, sometimes he's going to be too engaged, he struggles with transition, but, you know, long list of reasons why it might be hard to get off that day, right? And or to get off respectfully, right? Then we are less likely to execute the consequence or the whatever's happening from that place of frustration or anger or judgment or whatever, because we know sometimes he's going to have a hard time with that. And if we can be compassionate for that and still execute the accountability, it's a lot harder for them to you know, sort of blow off.
That makes sense, but in reality, at least with Logan, it's, you know, we were arguing about something the other day, and I'm giving him what he wants, and he's still arguing about it. You remember that, Julie? I'm like Logan, you're not hearing me. I'm giving you what you want, but you're sitting there arguing with me about it. It makes no sense. You're just arguing. You know.
So what do you learn
10
from
minutes.
That?
Well,
what's he getting
from
the arguing?
Then you become an idiot.
Right. Right.
I said when you argue with an idiot, you become the idiot. It was just a joke. He's not an idiot.
But I'm with you. Like Jeff Copper says, arguing with a 14-year-old on hormones is like arguing with a drunk on the Bowery. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know. And there's some wisdom to that, you know?
Yeah, but see, when that happens, often I'll argue with Logan, and I'm trying to get to a point to teach him something. Through
uh-huh.
argument, and Julie gets,
which is,
like,
you know, your first, second,
go,
and third
just
mistake.
Let it go.
Right.
Well, that's how he communicates. You know, and
it's how
and
he
I'm,
communicates, but
is,
it's not how he learns.
But he remembers, and if I make my point, he's going to argue. He's going to keep arguing his point, but I know that he understands my point, and I know it's going to click in there at some point.
So what if you make the point at a later time when he's not triggered and not arguing? When is he more likely to really learn it? What?
It'll trigger it then, and we'll just argue then. Everything's an argument.
Because you both love the argument. It's really what you're saying.
Yes.
I love the debate. I don't like the argument. I like the debate. Because
right.
I will sit with him, and
so
I will debate with him. I will debate, yeah, and I want him to debate me. But you got to have a sound argument. You know, you got to don't tell me stuff that you know. What is don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Sorry, no. You come to me with a good argument, and I will go. I got your back, man. I'm with you. I want you to be able to do that in the future in the real world. Is to have an argument, something you believe in, and these are the facts. Present the facts. And make your point. And hopefully you've persuaded whoever you're arguing with to see your point. Even if it's me.
So here's what I would encourage you, Mark, to look at make a distinction about when it's about teaching him to persuade. And when is that useful and when is it not? Because there are going to be times where, I mean, it's a dynamic between the two of you that the two of you probably enjoy on some level. And stresses out everybody else on another level, right?
Yeah.
Julie, am I right? Right.
Correct.
So, I get it because I had the same dynamic in my house, and it's like I got to walk away. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
That's not how I communicate, right? I'm not a debater. But both of you are, and that's fine. The opportunity is for you to know when you're in it because you guys love to debate, and it's an exercise there. And when that's really about the issue you're dealing with and when it's not. And to not have that be the only default, but to sometimes know when to walk away and deal with it later. If you're really trying to get them to learn something from it, you're likely going to have more effect doing it at another time. If part of the learning is being in the debate, that's a different conversation. Does that resonate?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, often he will, you know, he'll do the hand up, you know, no, you hold on a second. You know, he'll do that. Like,
mm-hmm.
Let me talk. And then it's,
yeah.
And often I'll say, you know, no, I'm the dad. I'll do the talking. But then there are times when I go, okay, go ahead and talk, make your point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are times when it's like, no, son, this needs to be done right now. There is no argument. So stop arguing. Get it done.
Well, and you know, and we all have those times and those moments when there are absolutes. And I guess what I'm encouraging you guys to look at in this conversation is to make sure that you're not overusing it as a weapon, right? There are times where you want to do that, but if that is the default, if it always comes down to because I said so, because I said now, it begins to strip them of the autonomy you're trying to empower them with. And so it's a very delicate dance. Devonna, you were going to say something a little while ago, and I'm curious what's coming up for you right now, because I know this is a specific issue for you as well.
Oh, I liked how you were talking about that little difference in presenting things as notice or deal. I mean, because a lot of times that gets turned back on me as you're making me. Why do you care? What, you know, it's like, and it's this personal argument about, you know, no, this has always been the expectation in our household. This is our house rule. And I was kind of defensive and saying, no, this is the house rule just a few days ago. And
right.
I don't need to have that. I don't need to be defensive or I can turn it down a little bit. The way you said it, mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm sorry, buddy, that's the deal. And it's just, it doesn't have to be, there doesn't have to be a high stakes, lots of emotion around it. This is just the way we're doing it. This is the deal. It's, you know, and we did get to that within a few days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, I mean, I feel like my older kid is really, he's really putting his money where his mouth is in terms of doing things right now that he wants to be, that are important to him. And that's, mm-hmm. that's what I want to see. He's in
right.
part of it right now. He's in between. My taking aim a couple weeks ago was figuring out why he wasn't going to school. Well, he's stuck out
yeah.
of school again. So that's no longer relevant to take aim on. And he's planning to go back to do community college starting in January. So right now he's a little bit in between. He's got one class that he's working on finishing up that he needs to finish over this next month. And that's plenty for him to focus on. And then he's working on SAT prep, which is great. And he's in a play. And so he's working on making sure he's got his lines memorized. And he's taking ownership of that. That's really important to him. And he's spending his time on it. So I'm just really
mm-hmm.
happy for him.
Right.
But like you know, it fits into the changing, shifting expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting that he's going to be successfully managing six high school classes right now. And that's not
mm-hmm.
a good fit for him. And he's making another path. And that's awesome. But you know, in that context, I'm not okay if you're just going to play video games all day. That's not what you're dropping out of the high school program to do. You know, you do have to focus on something that moves you forward in a direction that you ultimately want to go. And he gets that, and he agrees with that too. So, you know, it took him a couple of days, but he was like, you're right. I shouldn't be doing it. I'm actually going to not do that. And, you know, it took us just turning off the internet one day, I think, to kind of like,
mm-hmm.
to really, you know, we're
going
to
bring home the message. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to back you up, but this is our, you know, this is our household expectation. And it's actually what you want too. But
right.
it is that tricky negotiation because it does have to be what he wants too, in order for us to,
mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, we have three kids in this house and it's a really bad example. It actually came up specifically with my daughter. Like, why should I have to work on this math? I see my brother playing video games, you know, in the middle of the day. Like, yeah,
right.
Because that's not really what we're about here. So, Mm-hmm. But how do we achieve that without being a personal battle? You know, it doesn't need to be, and it's that sort of dancing forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what I hear you also dancing with, if you will, is sort of what are your expectations, what are their expectations, you know, and as they get older and teenagers are going to have their own expectations, and they're not always going to choose what we choose. I think that's the hardest part of parenting older kids, is they really do start having a mind of their own. And, you know, you can't convince them to care about, you know, math if they really don't give a damn about math, you know. You may be able to help them see the value of doing it to keep their GPA to where they want to get their, you know, you may be able to use it. But there's some point where, you know, when you hear yourself saying, I tried to explain to him that, as soon as we're explaining to them, we're not engaging with them. We are in that director role. And the opportunity is to shift into that more collaborative parenting role where you're helping them figure out what they really expect for themselves. That's sort of full circle to where we started, I think. But understanding what our expectations are and what our lines are. I mean, what I've heard both of you say in different ways, both of your families, is this is the threshold. And, you know, we can be flexible above it, and we can't be really flexible below it. And knowing where that is and when that changes and how that morphs with our kids, you know, with how their day is going, is challenging and an essential part of the whole bigger picture. Right. So let's sort of bring this to a close today and ask your final four, right? What were you focusing on today in this conversation? What are you taking away from it?
I'm actually really excited and grateful that I am now at the point where I feel like I'm focusing on a more nuanced version of kind of negotiating. I mean, it's in some ways it's about the support that I was talking about at the beginning, negotiating the ways in which support are happening. And, you know, I'm excited that my oldest son is really, he's like, I want help with this thing. I want help turning in this application for this program I'm really interested in. I want help getting signed up for these college classes next quarter. And then it was so awesome. We totally partnered together with him getting through all the steps of getting that happening. He did do a lot of it. In fact, he independently drove himself to the appointment with the registration person and did the registration himself. He got the form from the high school. I mean, there's so many pieces that he did. And because he was asking for help setting it up, he was actually able to be much more independent with it than when he wasn't engaging us in helping him, which so the whole thing was very cool. And that's what I want to see as a model for, you know, all of our interactions over this kind of stuff. It was, you know, where we're working together so that he's getting the degree of support he needs so that he actually is gaining independence.
Mm-hmm. Ironic, isn't it?
And then we're doing it without it being this heavy-handed, okay, but you said you wanted to do this. That means you can't be on the computer right now.
So
but there's this
the
more nuance.
What's the expectation, and this may be a homework question for you to sort of take away, is to begin to pay attention to what's the expectations or what are the expectations that are shifting for you that are enabling you to allow this kind of, to allow the shift? And I don't think you can answer it now, but play with that. We call it an inquiry. Like, what are the expectations that are shifting for you? Okay, can you play with that? And Julie and Mark, what about you? What are you taking away?
Work on my debate skills.
Well, maybe I need to remind Mark to think about what are our expectations in this. You know, what's realistic.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I think I need to remind Julie that too.
Right. What about you?
I still keep thinking about just little things that we have to do around the house that they need support on, and that it's okay that they still need support, and that it's okay to send them a text message reminding them to do the chores, and it's okay to say, okay, come on, you come in here with me, and we're going to brush our teeth together. I mean, you're 11 and 13, but still, we still need that, so, and that's okay.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, I really honor that. I have to tell you, my 23-year-old went home to her roommate after Thanksgiving, and I get this text at like 2 in the morning because it's California time. It says, you're not going to believe this, but this place is a pigsty since I left. And coming from her, it was hysterical because, I mean, you know, it was never, let's just say, neatness has never been her thing. But she's beginning to want it and choose it and seek it. And, you know, it's not perfect. It's, you know, but my apartment wasn't probably much better at that age, you know.
All right. Well, I've got to go. But thanks,
but it's
Elaine.
Yep. No, great to have you. Y'all have a good couple of weeks. We've got one more call, I think, before the holidays. And go forward and shift expectations. And, Mark, good luck with that Father's Day's Best fantasy.
Hey, we're getting there. As soon as the kids move out.
I'll take care.
Then it'll really help.
Right, exactly. All right, take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you later, Devonna.
Bye.